हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वेलकम एवरीवन फॉर द सीरीज ऑफ सेशन कॉल्ड नित्यम भागवत सेवया। एंड इन दीज सेशंस वी विल ट्राई टू रिलिश श्रीमद् भागवतम। वी विल ट्राई फॉर 45 मिनट्स 1 आवर नो वी विल ट्राई टू डू दैट एंड आफ्टर दैट वी विल टेक सम क्वेश्चंस। यस सो लेट अस स्टार्ट विद टुडेस सेशन बाय चैंटिंग सम ऑस्पिशियस प्रेयर्स। See, when it comes to understanding any spiritual subject matter, it's not that easy. It needs a lot of mercy to understand. So only when we have mercy of Sri Guru, Srila Prabhupada, Panch Tattva, Lord Sri Krishna, Srimati Radharani, and Bhagavatam, the Grantha Bhagavatam, when we have mercy of all these personalities, then we can understand little bit, of all these various great literatures, great scriptures. So let us all offer prayers to Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada and all the great personalities in our line and start with today's session. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तेर भवति नैष्टिकी। विल ऑल्सो ऑफर द मंगलाचरण प्रेयर्स टुगेदर। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन्यति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी पचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नामिने गौरद्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। मुकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानंद माधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं। So today we are going to start a new series, a very, very nice pastime of Ajamil, story of Ajamil. Every character in Bhagavatam is a very, very important character and they hold a lot of importance in our life also. These characters are not ordinary characters. Obviously now when we see Ajamil's pastime, we will see that he'll be doing so many abominable activities. But then one thing is clear, that they are acting on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. Without the order of Lord, these personalities will not act. And if these personalities are not special, they will not be there in Bhagavatam. So in this way, when we hear about these personalities, we need to understand that all the lessons which we are going to get is only for us, not for that personality in Bhagavatam. It's for us. So this particular personality has a great significance when it comes to understanding the glories of the holy name of Lord Shri Krishna, that is the glories of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Just by understanding this pastime, I don't know how long this pastime will go, but just by understanding this pastime, just by understanding that what happened in this entire scene, the entire pastime of Ajamil, we'll get so much of faith in the holy name. Chanting will improve. So in this pastime, the main conversation is happening between Yamadutas and Vishnudutas. There's actually a fight, a debate going on between the two, Yamadutas and Vishnudutas. They are debating what to do with this person. Vishnudutas are telling, no, we'll take them to Vaikuntha. And Yamadutas are saying, no. He should go to hell because of his activities. So in this way, this pastime is a very, what to say, in Hindi we say rochak, adventurous. Because you can just imagine Ajamil is lying on the deathbed, and here there are four Vishnudutas, and we have three Yamadutas. And all of them, both the sides, both the parties, they're having arguments. And here Ajamil is looking at one side and looking at the other side and not understanding what will be his destination. Will he go to Vaikuntha or will he go to hell? So let's start with this pastime. Let's see how many verses we can cover today. So I'll display the verses. So we are starting from 6th canto, 1st chapter, 21st shloka. So we'll read the translation and purport and we'll try to understand various aspects here. In the city known as Kanyakubja, there was a Brahmana named Ajamil who married a prostitute maidservant and lost all his Brahmanical qualities because of the association of that low-class woman. The fault of illicit connection with women is that it makes one lose all Brahmanical qualities. In India, there is still a class of servants called Shudras, whose maidservant wives are called Shudranis. Sometimes people who are very lusty establish relationships with such maidservants and sweeping women. Since in the higher status of society, they cannot indulge in the habit of woman hunting, which is strictly prohibited by social convention. Ajamil, a qualified Brahmana youth, lost all his Brahmanical qualities because of his association with the prostitute. But he was ultimately saved because he had begun the process of Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, in the previous verse, Shukadeva Goswami spoke of the person who has only once surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord, Manah Krishna Padara Vindayoho, or has just begun the Bhakti Yoga process. Bhakti Yoga begins with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho, hearing and chanting of Lord Vishnu's names, as in the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chanting is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga. So I'll just try to explain till here. So as we always keep telling, there are four pillars of sin. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. So what happens is when we get indulged into these sinful activities, we start losing various wonderful qualities which might be existing in all of us. It's very easy, to do a sinful activity. Why? Because this body is actually very much trained to do sinful activity. From many, many lifetimes, we have been doing only sinful activities. Many, many lifetimes. So in that karma in depth session we had discussed, right? Because of this reason only, we have the sinful tendency in our heart. And every now and then, the desires pop up to do sinful activity. So these sinful tendencies are there. And no doubt, we all belong to the class called sinful. But then we have a hope. That is practicing bhakti yoga. So anytime when we do any sinful activity, it is confirmed that surely we will lose all the qualities that we have and all the nice things, such as various, especially determination. Determination to practice bhakti, that will go down with time. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrataha. Only those people whose all sins are cleared, they can actually practice bhakti with determination. Once by chanting Hare Krishna, so many sins are actually removed. Once by chanting Hare Krishna. So all of us have been chanting good number of rounds. But the point is, if we commit sinful activities along with doing devotional service, we'll not progress much. Because with time, we'll keep losing determination. And actually, when we lose determination, then it will become very, very difficult to practice bhakti. Determination is something which actually drives a person closer and closer to Krishna. Like for example, every morning when we all chant. So we need a lot of determination to pick the bead back, put the hand inside, hold the beads and start chanting. If the determination is not there, mind will trick. Mind will say, "Theek hai, what is the problem? Chalta hai, what is the problem? Today we'll miss, but tomorrow we'll do. Day after tomorrow we'll miss, after that we will do." But a person who has got determination, he'll be able to continue and on and on and on without any stoppage in between. But sinful activity will break. Sinful activity will break our entire uninterrupted flow of devotional service. And with time, we will see the determination will go so low that we'll lose taste in practicing bhakti. Many, many examples are there, which we can quote. Many, many examples where they're practicing bhakti and they're continuing sinful activities, and with time, they give up bhakti also. So here we see Ajamil, he got into illicit sexual activity. In future verses, we will see that he had a very beautiful wife, a very chaste Brahmana, Brahmanical wife. And he had very, very wonderful Brahmanical parents. But then when he got attracted to the prostitute, he threw all of them out and he brought the prostitute in and he started living with her. And because of that, he lost all his Brahmanical qualities and especially the Brahma Tejas. Brahmanas have a different effulgence. So that effulgence was lost. All the qualities were lost. And all the negative qualities started creeping in. We'll see what were the negative qualities. Here it is spoken about practicing bhakti yoga. Let's see this. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Namaiva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatir Anyatha. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. The process of chanting the holy name of Lord is always superbly effective, but it is especially effective in this age of Kali. Its practical effectiveness will now be explained by Shukadeva Goswami through the history of Ajamil, who was freed from the hands of Yamadutas simply because of chanting the holy name of Narayan. Parikshit Maharaj's original question was, how to be freed from falling down into hell or into the hands of Yamadutas? In reply, Shukadeva Goswami is citing this old historical example to convince Parikshit Maharaj of the potency of Bhakti Yoga, which begins simply with chanting of the Lord's names. All the great authorities of Bhakti Yoga recommend the devotional process beginning with the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, Tan Nama Grahanadi Bihi. So actually what happened is, in the previous chapter, Shukadeva Goswami, the narrator of Srimad Bhagavatam, is narrating the different aspects of hellish planets. Various, very, very dangerous things are spoken in this particular chapter. So all the ones, who are used to committing sin, when they read this chapter, they will not be able to do sin again. Because lots and lots of suffering is given in hellish planets for doing sinful activities. But then there are people who think, who has seen all this? They ask this question, who has seen all this? Who knows there is next life? All these stupid questions people will ask because they don't understand, yes, there is a next life. They're not able to understand this. But then as devotees, we know very well, yes, there is next life. They inosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara praptir. So in this body itself, we are going through boyhood, youth, old age, and at the end of life, we are going to switch to another body. Soul transmigration will happen. And when we get another body, what happens? We have to suffer and we have to enjoy for all the reactions, no, that we have got because of the karma that we have done in the past. But then many people will not understand this. So when it comes to hellish planets, Parikshit Maharaj, when he heard all that, he became extremely tensed. Not for himself. He's a great Mahabhagavat. He's the grandson of Arjuna. So he was not at all worried about that. But then he was asking this question that, oh Gurudev, oh Shukadev Goswami, please tell me, there's so many people who are there who are committing sins. So is there is no other way? There's no other way by which they can escape this hellish conditions, the hellish suffering? Oh Gurudev, please tell me if there is any way. How can we do that? And also he had another question. So Shukadev Goswami, what he said was, yes, one can atone for one's sins. This is what Shukadev Goswami said. One should do prayaschitta. So there are various ways of doing prayaschitta, given in our Vedic scriptures. Do this yajna, do this puja, etc., etc. is there. But then Parikshit Maharaj, he asked a question that, okay, what you're saying, I understand. But then a person who atones for sins, why does he commit the sin again, the same sin again? This was the question that he had. So there, Shukadev Goswami gives a nice analogy. He says, oh Parikshit, that's a very, very amazing question. It will benefit everyone. So he said that, see, when we do atonement, it's like the tree is getting cut. Sins are getting removed. But then the sinful impressions, the roots are still there. And in the monsoon, when the favorable setup is there and when the rain falls on those roots, it starts growing again. So basically, he was saying that sinful tendency is there. And because of that, the person will commit sins again. So Parikshit Maharaj said, what is the use of atonement then? What is the use of prayaschitta? So he's asking Shukadeva Goswami, is there any other way? Is there any other way to escape? Or no, people have to go to hell. So at that time, Shukadeva Goswami, to answer to his very, very sincere disciple Parikshit, who is going to die in next 7 days, he started narrating the pastime of Ajamil. And that's what we are seeing here. So chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is something, which actually destroys all the impressions which are there in our heart. It destroys the prarabdha, it destroys our prarabdha karma, kutam, bijam, all that we discussed in the karma in-depth session. Everything is burnt. Everything is burnt. So it's very important that, we chant with complete faith. Yes, this particular process will actually take me closer to Krishna. Complete faith. There's no question of thinking twice, oh, maybe it works or maybe it doesn't work. No. It works. It works to the fullest. No, it works to a very great extent. So this is a very important point, that we need to meditate on. It works. So what am I supposed to do? Take it very, very seriously. Very, very seriously. So when we're chanting, we should have this faith and we should understand by chanting the Mahamantra, currently all my sins are getting washed off. And more importantly, the sinful tendencies are getting washed off. And when that is happening, there'll be lots of bliss in practicing devotional service. With time, we'll actually understand the bliss that is there in devotional service. So it is said, our devotional life starts with Shravanam and Kirtanam. Shravanam, we hear. We hear about the holy name. We hear about the glories of the holy name. And Kirtanam, chanting of the holy names. So when we do Shravanam, we get more faith in chanting. And when we do chanting, we get more eagerness to hear. And the process just goes on and on and on and on. So these sessions of Thursdays that we're going to have, this is going to act like that catalyst, to help us to go on and on and on, to chant with faith, to hear with faith, and keep progressing on the path of devotional service. Now let's see what happened to this person, Ajamil. Let's see in detail. This fallen Brahmana Ajamil gave trouble to others by arresting them, by cheating them in gambling, or by directly plundering them. This was the way he earned his livelihood and maintained his wife and children. This verse indicates how degraded one becomes simply by indulging in illicit sex with a prostitute. Illicit sex is not possible with a chaste or aristocratic woman, but only with unchaste Shudras. The more society allows prostitution and illicit sex, the more impetus it gives to cheaters thieves, plunderers, drunkards, and gamblers. Therefore, we first advise all the disciples in Krishna consciousness movement to avoid illicit sex, which is the beginning of all abominable life, and which is followed by meat eating, gambling, and intoxication, one after another. Of course, restraint is very difficult, but it is quite possible if one fully surrenders to Krishna, since all these abominable habits gradually become distasteful for a Krishna conscious person. If illicit sex is allowed to increase in a society, however, the entire society will become condemned, for it will be full of rogues and thieves. Yes. So a very nice purport by Srila Prabhupada. So see, here it's very clear. Illicit sex actually makes us unclean. Unclean at all the levels. On the gross body, on the subtle body, and in the subtle body, especially on the mind. We become very, very unclean. Very unclean. And because of that, what happens? Our entire life, you know, this there'll be so much of negativity, so much of negativity. So this, when it comes to illicit sex, you know, it doesn't mean only associating, you know, with a prostitute or something like that. Even watching something nonsense on, you know, the internet and all that which is there, talking about all that nonsense, thinking about all that nonsense actually constitutes to illicit sex. So it is said that one should try his best to avoid all of that. Once the person starts doing that, then, you know, the person will actually get purified and he'll be able to practice bhakti very nicely. Or else it will be very, very difficult. We see so many times, I have myself got so many queries from so many people, both unmarried and married boys. Obviously, you know, Matajis cannot text such things to me since I'm a monk. But I see that the males, Prabhujis, do text me all this. So they are very much addicted to all this. Watching nonsense on internet or having some illicit connection, pre-marital, post-marital. Once I had got one email when I was doing e-counseling seva on ISKCON Desire Tree. So at that time, once I had got an email from one of the married person. So he had, you know, mailed me saying that I'm actually getting attracted to the maid servant who is there in my house. Can you please help me? What should I do? Can you imagine this? He also wrote in the mail that my wife does not know all this. I'm telling her to remove this maid servant, but she is not listening. And the maid servant is also getting inclined towards me. This is at least a person who was adult, you know, so that was there. There's an old man, 60 years old man. He had texted me saying that he is involved in illicit activity. Please help me. Now, can you imagine? Right from a teenager till the person who is about to die, all of them are actually getting into all this nonsense. Because Kali Yuga is meant like that. Kali Yuga is like that. Where every single movie is, you know, depicting all these nonsensical scenes which are there, the private scenes or adult scenes which are there. And even if we are adults, we cannot see all that. It is called as adult scene. It doesn't mean adults can sit and see that. Yes. What happens when that is all seen? All that impressions will be there and we would like to do all that. And unfortunately, that might be with someone who is outside the marriage jurisdiction. And that is all sinful. That is all sinful. So if we are, suppose, by chance, if all the ones who are listening to me today, if suppose you are addicted to any of it, only solution is surrendering to the lotus feet of Krishna and Guru. We have to surrender to them and we have to practice bhakti very, very intensely. This is all happening because of the past samskaras which are there and the current life samskaras which are there. I mean, the impressions which are there, those are actually dragging us to do all these sinful activities. So it's very important for us, you know, to make sure that we follow the instruction of Shastra as it is and take complete shelter of Lord Krishna. Or else, you know what happens? First comes illicit sex, as Prabhupada was telling here. Then starts, you know, then comes meat eating, and then comes gambling, and then comes intoxication. In all these, what happens is the person starts getting into lots of cheating habits. The person can also go up till, you know, something called as murder. We can go up to that level also. So this one sinful activity will trigger all the other sinful activities. And we'll see. In Ajamil's case, it is very clearly given in this verse itself that he started arresting people. He started cheating people. He started doing all that. One sinful activity triggered all the other sinful activities. Human life is meant for living a pure life, not a sinful life. Human life is meant to understand what is sinful and what is not. And we cannot act innocent. All of us know what is sinful and what is not. Yes. and accordingly we should act. Somehow or the other, these four things should be avoided: meat eating, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex. All these four should be avoided completely. There is no question of any compromise on this. No. Anyone who is sincerely aspiring to attain Krishna has to just stop in all these four. We cannot continue doing this. At the same time, expect, oh, I'll get realizations, I'll get taste in the holy name and all that. No, not possible. Yes. So Ajamil was doing all this. What else Ajamil did? Let's see. So after getting into such unfortunate activities, here it's given that my dear king, while he thus spent his time in abominable sinful activities to maintain his family of many sons, 88 years of his life passed by. So the story is unfolding now. Very, very nice story this is. That old man Ajamil had 10 sons, of whom the youngest was a baby named Narayan. Since Narayan was the youngest of all sons, he was naturally very dear to both his father and his mother. The word pravayasaha indicates Ajamil's sinfulness because though he was 88 years old, he had a very young child. According to Vedic culture, one should leave home as soon as he has reached 50 years of age. One should not live at home and go on producing children. Sex life is allowed for 25 years between the age of 25 and 45 or at most 50. After that, one should give up the habit of sex life and leave home as a vanaprastha and then properly take sannyas. Ajamil, however, because of his association with a prostitute, lost all Brahmanical culture and became most sinful even in his so-called household life. So now let's calculate. Ajamil was 88 years old. And the description says that Ajamil's youngest son was less than 5 years old. So let's consider it as 5 years old. So when was the son born? When Ajamil was 88 minus 5, that is 83 years old. And say it took 1 year to beget the child. So at the age of 82, he was still indulging into sexual activity. Can you imagine? At the age of 82, the person is begetting a child. This is called as the most abominable thing. And in Kali Yuga, this is very, very normal. Why? People are not educated. People are not educated what to do at what age. Yes, nowadays people marry after the age of 30. And then after that, they think of begetting children at the age of 35 or whatever. This is still okay. There are some people who get married at the age of 40 and beget children at the age of 50. I know a few people like that. So this is all nonsense, isn't it? And then it's all about superficial life people are living. A 60-year-old man, getting married to a 25-year-old girl. So many such cases are there now, which we hear. So the point is that one should follow the Vedic culture that is given to us. So it is said the first 25 years, a person should maintain brahmacharya. He should be a brahmachari first 25 years. The next 25 years, suppose if he wants to get married, he should get married by the age of 26, 27. And then he has to stay with his wife compulsorily till the age of 50 and take care of the entire family. Then at the age of 50, both husband and wife should go for Tirtha Yatra, where both husband and wife, they support each other. They go to various pilgrim places so that they can do full-time devotional service. Now it's not part-time. They're doing full-time devotional service where they're going taking darshan of the Lord and getting attached to the Lord. And with time, they both get detached from each other. And then what happens? If suppose the male is living still by the age of 60 or 70 or whatever, so that person is expected to take sannyas. So he'll take sannyas and wife will go to the family back and she will stay under the guidance or under the protection of the eldest son in the family. So this is the entire thing that is there. I always speak about this, that why now old people are suffering so much? Because firstly, they have not practiced bhakti throughout their entire life. Secondly, they are so much interested to do sense gratification even in the old age. What will happen? Who will give importance to them? Who will give respect to them? See, all of us are going to become old. All of us. And the time when we become old, that is the time when people will not respect. At that time, Okay, suppose if we have a lot of money, people might respect, you know, till they snatch away all the money. But then, till the point, or after that, you know, once the money is snatched away, when the person is has nothing, no respect will be given to such a person. And just imagine, still, if the person wants to do sense gratification, how abominable the situation will be. So before we hit the old age, it is very important to come to a certain level of Krishna consciousness where we start relishing Krishna consciousness. We start relishing the pastimes of Lord Krishna. We start relishing chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It's not that in the old age we start struggling and chanting. I remember when I was back in Mumbai, I had gone to the temple and it was early morning time. We were chanting, sitting and chanting. So an old man came and he was sitting behind me. And I think he was chanting for the first time. He was given new beads and he was chanting. That person was not able to pronounce Krishna, Hare, and Ram. He was struggling to chant one Mahamantra. He was just sitting behind me. I was able to hear how he was struggling to chant. So practice starts from now itself. You know, when we are young, whatever our age is, be it 20, 30, 40, whatever it is, we have to start at whatever time we've taken up Krishna consciousness. And it has to be very serious. And if someone has already crossed 50 or 60, that person has to be really very intense in practicing bhakti. Very, very intense. Literally today afternoon, I was talking to my mother. Almost 2 hours, we had a phone call. So I was telling her, see, now you have crossed 50. And anytime you can die. So I was telling her, we were talking since we have a very close relationship. So I was telling her, so now is the time to do full-time devotional service. Give up all that tension that you have of the house and just make sure that nicely do devotional service by doing deity worship, by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, by cooking nice bhoga for Krishna, and so on and so forth. This practice, if it is not there, it's very difficult, very difficult. So whichever age we are in now, we have to take it very, very seriously, very seriously. And practice bhakti every single day. Whatever time we are investing, that should be very, very quality. Say we are investing 1 hour for chanting or 2 hours for chanting. Those 2 hours, should be very, very quality, where we are sitting and just focusing on the holy name with respect and reverence and attention. So we just focus on that. At that time, we don't think about anything else. Tell me, what is the use of thinking anything else, when we're sitting and chanting? What is the use? We think about office, say we think about our spouse or kids or relatives or whatever. Tell me, what is the use of that? Now we have got an appointment with Krishna, and then we are doing nonsense, start thinking about something else. So it's very important. When we are chanting, we just chant, we just try to focus. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And you know what happens? Just by doing this, quality chanting, quality hearing, like all of you are hearing me now. So now it all depends on how with focus are you hearing. How much focused are you when you are hearing? If it is just like this dicey dicey, where just you have put it on the mobile phone, you're busy cooking, busy eating, busy sleeping, then nothing will happen. Attentively hearing, okay, let me hear this bald person, what is he saying? So attentively hearing helps a lot. Because when we hear attentively, we will get that knowledge, and that knowledge will go deeper in our heart, and we'll be able to implement that. Attentively reading. Suppose we read, say, for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour. We put all our focus when we are reading. We don't think about anything else at that time. Just by doing these three, chanting, reading, hearing, and obviously having prasadam and associating with devotees, by doing these basic things, slowly and steadily the person will get taste in Krishna consciousness. And when he get taste in Krishna consciousness, his consciousness elevates, he will not be attracted to do sense gratification. And then when he's not attracted to do sense gratification, he has got higher taste, all the time he'll be busy meditating on Lord Sri Krishna, always blissful. And you know what? When someone attains such a stage, everyone around will respect. Everyone around will respect. If this is not done and he's doing sense gratification and still has sexual inclination, still wants to hold the money in the house, still want to rule the entire house and maintain the house and all that, that person will have tough time. At the age of 50, you have to just give up all the things. Okay, give up, give to the kids, let them manage whatever they want, and we just practice devotional service. But it's not easy. It's not easy to do that. Hard-earned money is there, and how can we just give it like that? this detachment will come when we are practicing bhakti, or else the person will be so attached that even when the time comes not to give what whatever property or whatever is there to their sons or whatever, he'll not be able to give. I was hearing from my spiritual master, he was telling this in his village now in Bihar. So what happened is, an old man, he was dying, about to die last few days. So the sons who were there, they were behind him and they were like, they wanted to take his, obviously he didn't know signature. So they wanted to take thumb impression. So what they were doing, he was not ready. He was not ready. He was saying, no, I'll not give thumb impression. So what they started doing was, one day, he was lying on the bed. So four sons were there. Four sons carried the bed and they were taking him to the doctor. In between on the road, what they did, they stopped in between. And then they took the ink, put the thumb, in the ink. And the old man, he was still in a somewhat subconscious state. And then they were about to take the print on the paper. At that time, somehow this person came back to consciousness. And you know what he started doing? He started spitting. He started spitting on the paper. Not that that thumb print shouldn't be there. Now he started spitting on the paper. Can you imagine how much attachment people have? So in this way, in the old age, all these things will remain if we are not practicing bhakti. But the ones who practice bhakti, they will be completely detached. They'll be like, "Arey le lo, kya chahiye tumhe? Property chalo le lo, paisa chahiye le lo, whatever you want, take it. But leave me alone. I want to do my bhajan. I want to do my chanting. I want to do my devotional service." So in this way, when we practice devotional service every single day intensely with quality, all these things will be taken care of. Or else, we have to be ready. We have to be ready to have tough time during the old age and die, with a very, very abominable situation. That's what has happened with Ajamil. At the age of 88, this person has got a five-year-old son. Can you imagine that? And this person, throughout his life, has done so much of sin, has begot 10 kids. 10 kids. And the youngest one is around 5 years old. Now let's see what else this person did and what is going to happen with him. So the next shloka. Because of the child's broken language and awkward movements, old Ajamil was very much attached to him. He always then enjoyed the child's activities. Here it is clearly mentioned that the child Narayan was so young that he could not even speak or walk properly. Since the old man was very attached to the child, he enjoyed the child's activities, and because the child's name was Narayan, the old man always chanted the holy name of Narayan. Although he was referring to the small child and not to the original Narayan, the name of Narayan is so powerful that even by chanting his son's name, he was becoming purified. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namaiva Kevalam. Rupa Goswami has therefore declared that if one's mind is somehow or other attracted by the holy name of Krishna, Tasmat kenapya upayena manaha krishna niveshayat. One is on the path of liberation. It is customary in Hindu society for parents to give their children names like Krishna Das, Govinda Das, Narayan Das, and Vrindavan Das. Thus, they chant the names Krishna, Govinda, Narayan, and Vrindavan and get the chance to be purified. So here comes our Vedic tradition, the importance of the names in the Vedic tradition. So if we go back to one generation behind, or at least the current generation that is there, current generation, one generation behind. So we'll see all the names will be the names of God. Krishna, Govinda, Murari, Hari, Narayan, and so many others, which are very nice names. So just by calling, just by chanting these names, we are calling our child maybe, and we might be calling one of our close relative with this name. So what would happen? The person would get purified because he's chanting that name. Look at how merciful Krishna is. Now we might call someone as, say, Krishna, but Krishna knows whom we are calling. He's there as Paramatma. He knows very well. But then Krishna is like, who is original Krishna? That person or me? So you are actually calling me, so I'll come. So in this way, Krishna needs some chance here and there, to purify us. He's that merciful. But then nowadays, you see how names people are keeping. Pinto, Tittu, and all that. Yes. And sometimes the names are very nice. Krishna is the name, but still parents will call us Krish. Krish. What is Krish? No, maybe that person will become snake in the next life. Shh. Yes. So it's a very unfortunate situation. People think it's a very nice modern culture or modern society, you know, that is there. People don't understand that, no, it is such a very important tradition, you know, that we have got, where we call out the names of the Lord, complete names. There are some people whose names are like Mahalakshmi. Yes. But now in the modern society, they call us, oh, Maha, Maha. What is Maha? Yes. I don't remember some other, you know, joking names which I heard in the past. No. See, we are not here to impress people. Please understand this. We are living in a society. That doesn't mean that we live our entire life just to impress people. We should understand that what will actually take us closer to Krishna. So one of my relative who recently got a kid, they were asking, can you please suggest some names? I suggested, no, these are all old names. No, suggest some trendy names, you know, they were asking. Trendy names. So in this way, you know, people want to become trendy, but people don't understand. We'll become trendy and go to the new trending place called hell. Because that is the place where everyone is going nowadays. Yes. So somehow or the other, we need to understand the importance of Vedic culture. In the Vedic culture, when it is given that give not Lord's name to the child, that should be done. That should be done very nicely. That should be done. And the parent should wholeheartedly call loudly, you know, the child. Krishna, Ram, Madhusudan, Narayan, whatever names are. So in this way, you know, this calling out the names of the Lord becomes very natural in the house where everyone has got the names of the Lord. If the names are demoniac, names are ghostly, then we can expect some ghosts and demons to come in and the negative energy to creep in. Right? So here, Ajamil, this verse was very nice, where it is said that the child was not even able to speak properly, not even able to walk properly. I think 5 years is too much. You know, he might be some 3, 4 years old or something like that. So you can imagine the attachment that this person has got. Now, Ajamil is supposed to be a very old person. So let me also speak something on the side of grandparents. Now, grandparents are very much attached, you know, to their grandchildren. It's very much known. Now, they are like so attached that, and even grandchildren are very attached to grandparents. But see, one thing people have to understand that how much is my responsibility? Sometimes people don't understand the responsibility only. Obviously, these are not my words. I got to hear, you know, from one of my senior devotees, a couple. They're very close to my heart, so I keep talking to them, and they stay in Vrindavan. So I was talking to them one day in their house when I had gone there. So I was telling them that, okay, you have 2 kids, now we'll get them married. They were not in Vrindavan at that time. They were in Mumbai. So I was asking them that you have got a house in Vrindavan, so when are you planning to shift? So they were like, now 2 kids are there, so we will get them married, and then after that we'll go. Then just to test them, I said, see, after marriage of 2 kids, what will happen? 2 more grandchildren will come and they'll be in need of you. So, you know, you're very much needed there. You have to take care of them and all that. You know what they said? They told me a very nice statement. They said, see, our responsibility is to get them married. After we get them married, done. There is no more responsibility after that, you know, which we have. After that, only job that we have is to get closer to Krishna and attain Krishna, break the cycle of birth and death. How long will we get stuck, you know, in all this? I still remember my grandmother's mother, maternal side. I was, I think, in 5th standard or 6th standard. And she was telling, I want to see this person getting married. And I was thinking, what's wrong with this lady? I want to die and she wants me to get married at that time. I want to see his marriage. So why these desires are there? Why these desires are there? Why are grandparents getting attracted to the, you know, the words of the grandchildren? Why, when their children were small, they have not experienced this pleasure already? They have already experienced. But why are they getting attracted to these things again? Because there is no higher taste. There is no taste for Krishna that has come. Because of that, what happens? The person is getting attracted to small, small things here. And how the person dies? I want to see my grandson. I want to see my, you know, granddaughter. Call them. Where are they? And dead. Remembering whom? Remembering some mortal being. And what will happen? Again, enter birth itself too. That's what will happen. So in this way, you know, one need to understand, doesn't matter who are we. You know, are we old people? Are we young people? Or whatever we are, what is important is, am I practicing bhakti very nicely, intensely? And we should always keep a watch. What am I getting attached to? Am I doing more than what I'm supposed to do? Am I creating some self-created duties for myself? So we should have this question. And then accordingly, we should live our life, because the goal of life is not to see grandchildren and great-grandchildren, all that. Goal of life is to see the beautiful baby Krishna and go there and then relish Krishna speaking. Yes. Looking at the beautiful form of Lord Sri Krishna. Just imagine, you know, someone getting the opportunity to go back home back to Godhead. You know, or before going back home back to Godhead, first we'll be put in some universe where Krishna is doing the pastimes. The Prakat Leela will be going on. So there, suppose, you know, Krishna is doing his Bal Leela pastimes. So just imagine we are there in the house of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And then we'll be able to see Krishna crawling here and there. So it is described when Krishna would crawl. It is described, not a very enthusiastic, active person, lazy person at that time. So he would crawl and then he'll get tired and just fall there only and go to sleep. And at times it is given that Krishna would crawl, you know, in the cow dung and cow urine and all that, and roll in all that. He will catch the tail of the calf. And when he catches the tail of the calf, what happens? The calf will get fearful. And along with that, since the calf is getting fearful and it starts moving, Krishna becomes fearful. He closes his eyes, and you know what he does? Tightly he holds the tail. He holds the tail tightly, and the calf is very fearful. It starts running. And in that fear that, you know, something wrong is happening, Krishna is not opening his eyes, and Krishna is dragged throughout the Brajabhumi. Yes. So wonderful this is. And all the gopas and gopis, they're standing and witnessing this, and they're laughing at what this child is doing. And then some gopis would come, the elderly gopis, and they would remove, you know, that they would catch the calf and then, you know, remove Krishna from there. At times, you know, Krishna would crawl, and then ankle bells will be there, you know, on the feet. Now the ankle bell sound is coming. Krishna is not understanding where the sound is coming from, so he'll keep searching. Where is the sound coming from? Where is the sound coming from? And after some time, he'll get tired and then he'll stop. And he'll keep searching. Where is the sound coming from? Now, no sound. He has stopped. Again, he'll start crawling. Why the sound has stopped? Again, the sound will come. Again, he starts searching. And all the people who are there around, the elderly people, they'll keep watching and they'll keep laughing. What's wrong with this boy? What is he doing? Yes. And in another pastime, a motherly lady will be moving. And Krishna will be crawling behind her, not thinking it's Mother Yashoda. And then as soon as she turns, then he understands, hey, this is not my mother. And then again, he'll take a U-turn and start crawling the other way around. This is called as taking pleasure of when we associate with Lord Sri Krishna. Not taking pleasure in this, you know, mortal world, looking at mortal kids and mortal grandkids and taking pleasure from that. Yes. So a very, very important point that we need to understand here is we unnecessarily shouldn't get attached. We should do our duty. Whatever duty is there, we should execute our duty. But unnecessarily getting attached is a big problem. And here we see Ajamil at the age of 88, he's going to die now. And this person is attached to his youngest son, who is hardly some 3, 4 years old. And what is he relishing? He's relishing the broken language in which he's calling Papa, Mama, all that he's relishing at the age of 88. At the age of 88, he's feeling very nice when his child is calling him Papa. This is the abominable situation of sense gratifiers, the materialist. Let's see what happens next. The story is getting, you know, more and more adventurous here. A lot of suspense is still waiting. When Ajamil chewed food and ate it, he called the child to chew and eat. When he drank, he called the child to drink also. Always engaged in taking care of the child and calling his name Narayana, Ajamil could not understand that his own time was now exhausted and that death was upon him. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is kind to the conditioned soul. Although this man completely forgot Narayan, he was calling his child saying, Narayan, please come eat this food. Narayan, please come drink this milk. Somehow or the other, therefore, he was attached to the name Narayan. This is called as Agyata Sukriti. Although calling for his son, he was unknowingly chanting the name of Narayan. And the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so transcendently powerful that his chanting was being counted and recorded. So here, a very nice verse, you know, that is given here to understand. So in our day-to-day life, you know, time is just flying. I don't know how many of you are noticing that. Time is just flying. Last Thursday, I had announced that next Thursday onwards, we'll start, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam. See, it's Thursday. We started Gita course some months back, and we finished also Gita course. Mantra meditation, 21 days challenge is finished like this. Now we were just coming every day, and 21 days, how it went, even I didn't get to know. Time is flying, very much flying. Question is, with this flying time, how much have we become serious in our devotional service? This is the question that we need to answer. Are we still taking it for granted? Still doing time pass? This is a question that we need to ask ourselves. Am I intensely practicing every single day, or am I still postponing, saying from tomorrow I'll become intense, from tomorrow I'll become intense, or maybe next month onwards I'll become intense, or this problem, let it get solved, then I'll become intense. Oh, my son, you know, he's about to leave the house, he's going to go to abroad, after that I'll become intense. All these are reasons. Whose reasons? We are not giving, mind is giving. Mind will always trick us, always, every single day mind will trick us, saying no problem. Why today? Let's do it tomorrow. And tomorrow, they will say, let's do it tomorrow. And tomorrow, let's do it tomorrow. And then, as in English it is said, tomorrow never comes. It will never come. So whatever is there, it has to be done, not today, now. It has to be done now, whatever is there. So bhakti has to be practiced very intensely. How much fire of bhakti is there in our heart, that will decide how fast we'll get purified and how fast we'll attain Krishna. How much fire we have, that will actually determine. That is a decision-making factor. So it is very important that we recognize and notice how fast the time is flying, especially the ones who are still going to office and the ones who are you know, having family. So for them, you know, it's very, very fast. The time will just fly like anything. When it is morning and the entire day just goes in working, and suddenly, you know, we'll realize it's night, and then we eat and we sleep. Again, the next day morning, the same thing. And weekends, you know, just crash for some time. So we need to understand that, yes, time is flying. So what am I supposed to do? I cannot give reason saying, okay, now, you know, I've got some tape off. I mean, some releases there. So let me work hard day and night together, and then I'll see what to do after that. No. Never, ever we can compromise our devotional service, you know, for any incident that is happening in our life. Let someone die. Let someone take birth. Let anything happen in the office. Let anything happen in the home. Let anything happen to our health. Whatever it is, devotional service should go on intensely every single day. Come what may. Come what may. You know why we are supposed to do this? Because when we do devotional service, in all the circumstances, we are actually proving to Krishna, oh Krishna, I want you. In this very lifetime, I want you. I'm ready to do anything for you. Anything. I wasted a lot of time in the past, in my past life. Now I'm not going to do that. You put whatever test you want to put. Let whatever karmic reactions manifest in my life. I don't care about it. Whatever it is. I will chant. I will do my devotional service. Even if Yamraj comes, I'll tell Yamraj that, no, let me finish my chanting, then I'll come with you. Yes. That should be the mood of a devotee. Very, very intense. Very intense. And when this intensity is there in practicing bhakti, then we can expect that very, very fast we'll get purified. Or else, you know, it will be very difficult. Yes. Here in case of Ajamil, he was so busy taking care of his youngest son, he was hardly realizing that he's about to die. Also, another thing I would like to highlight here, there should be someone in our life who will remind us of our death every now and then. That is very, very important. If we are not able to remind ourselves, there should be someone else who should be reminding us, you know, every now and then. दैट नो हो गया, तेरा टाइम हो गया, चलो है ना, अभी निकलना है. यू आर गोना डाई नाउ, समवन शुड बी देयर टू टेल अस दिस, एस्पेशली व्हेन वी बिकम ओल्ड. एंड दिस भागवतम क्लासेस आर दैट ओनली, नो श्रीमद् भागवतम इज दैट, नो व्हिच कीप्स टेलिंग अस एवरी नाउ एंड देन दैट गेट रेडी, इवन स्मॉल किड्स आर डाइंग, नो व्हाट इज द गारंटी दैट यू गोइंग टू लिव. सो रीडिंग, सो व्हेन वी हियर श्रीमद् भागवतम, इट्स लाइक एन अलार्म, इट्स एन अलार्म, अरे बाप रे टाइम हैज कम वेरी क्लोज. ऑब्वियसली व्हेन दिस पैंडेमिक इज गोइंग ऑन, पीपल हैव बिकम वेरी मच अलर्ट. But now, let me tell you, people have become so conditioned to this situation. People are wearing matching mask with nice embroidery work on that. I've seen small kids wearing Spider-Man, Batman mask and all that. Now people are used to it. It's like, theek hai, we have to live with corona, so it's okay. So with time, people are forgetting that there's so many deaths those are happening around. People are forgetting. No, we shouldn't forget. We should remember again and again. So many people are dying. My time can also come. So am I really practicing bhakti very nicely? So one of my youth student was telling me this, that Prabhu, I've increased my rounds. I said, what happened? Suddenly, you know, you have increased your rounds, not to 20. So he was saying, Prabhu, so many people are dying. So maybe my time will also come. So better chant more rounds. So this is what happens, you know, when we start practice, when we start reminding ourselves that, you know, death can knock my door anytime. See, this is not pessimistic mode. Let me make it very clear. This is called as living in reality. People who don't want to think about death, they are in illusion. They are not in reality, they are in illusion. People who are getting ready, getting prepared for death, they are the people who are living a life in reality. And we should live life in reality. And who teaches all this to us? Bhagavatam teaches all this to us, to live life in reality. And here Ajamil is in complete illusion. Complete illusion. He's still thinking that he'll maybe have another 100 years and beget another 10 kids. And like that, he's living his life. So here, you know, in this particular text, very nicely it is mentioned about Agyata Sukriti. Now let me also talk about Agyata Sukriti, a very, very important concept. Now see, all of us have been practicing bhakti. On a Thursday evening, when you're supposed to take dinner and sleep, you're hearing a very heavy lecture. Why? Why is that you're getting so much of interest to hear from Bhagavatam and that to such heavy topics, which are literally like, you know, almost like a slap on the face, isn't it? Why? Because we all have got Sukriti. Sukriti means spiritual punya. Only people who have got spiritual punya, they can only hear Bhagavatam. They can only chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I'm telling from my own personal preaching experience. There are many, many people whom we have preached to. We tell them, chant Hare Krishna. And people are like, no, we are chanting something else, we'll not chant. We call them for Bhagavad Gita discourses, Bhagavatam discourses. Many of you glorify so much saying, oh, these were so practical sessions. Oh, this was very helpful. Now I'm, you know, feeling so much of satisfaction, peace and all that. So if you people are getting attracted, why are not those people getting attracted? There's something called as Agyata Sukriti. Agyata means unknowingly. Sukriti means spiritual punya. So only when the punya comes to certain threshold, we'll be able to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. If that punya is below, spiritual punya is below this threshold, we'll not be able to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We'll not be getting any interest to hear Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. You know what such person will say, you know, whose Sukriti is very less? Such people will say, oh, no, all this is mythology. No, don't believe all this. Now these ISKCON people, they are just brainwashing everyone. They don't have any work. They have left their job. And they want others also to leave the job. That's how they speak. So the point is that people who don't have enough spiritual punya, they can never understand what is bhakti. Never. Then how did we get spiritual punya? Are we special? How did we get spiritual punya? So what happens is in our day-to-day life, when we see a devotee, you know, say someone sees us, you know, with this tilak, urdhva punda tilak with tulasi. So what happens is they get agyata sukriti. They have seen our face. And just by seeing our face, they have got the benefit of seeing the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and seeing Tulasi. Now, because of this, what happens is, without their notice, some spiritual punya gets added to their spiritual bank. Now, after that, say, now Jagannath Rath Yatra is coming on 12th of this month. So Jagannath comes on the road on the Rath. Now, unknowingly, say, a person is going out for shopping. And then suddenly, you know, huge crowd is coming and Hare Krishna Mahamantra is chanted and, you know, Rath is getting pulled. And this person is, you know, just waiting because huge crowd is going, right? So he has to wait. He has no option. He's just waiting. And now when he's waiting, what is he doing? is hearing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He's not chanting, he's just hearing. And then now slowly he's seeing that people are pulling the rope and people are forcing him also, come touch the rope, touch the rope, touch the rope. We do this in ISKCON. The rath will be going straight and we take the rope till the footpath and we ask people, touch the rope, touch the rope. So say he touches the rope also, unknowingly. Yeah? He doesn't know only what is happening. And then finally the rath comes. And then he sees Jagannath. He's not understanding which personality is there on the rath. He's just seeing that and the rath passes by. And behind the rath, people are throwing prasad packets. No? So he also catches one, like he catches a ball. Now in all these activities, he don't know only what he has done. But according to Shastra, it is said, anyone who hears the Mahamantra, anyone who touches the rope of the Jagannath Rath, anyone who sees Jagannath Rath, anyone who accepts prasadam, no, during this Ratha Yatra, or even in any occasion, such a person gets lots and lots of spiritual credits. And in that crowd, there'll be some devotee will be looking at us and they'll be thinking, why this stupid person is standing like this? Why is he not getting attraction for Krishna? Why is he not coming with us? Why is he not practicing bhakti? And he turns to Jagannath and says, oh Jagannath, please help this person. Now this person, he does not know only what all is happening. And so many things are happening. So many events are happening around him. And he is actually the center. You know, everyone, you know, are doing things for him. By this, what has happened? Slowly, Sukriti is getting added. Spiritual punya is getting added one after another and after another. This is what happened to all of us. Some lifetime we have seen some devotee with this tilak. Some lifetime some devotee has given us prasad when we were walking on the road. Some devotees have given us Bhagavad Gita or shown us Bhagavad Gita. So when we go out for book distribution, you know, we tell people, we hold the Bhagavad Gita and you know, we show them, you know, this is the Bhagavad Gita. And then after that, you know, we convince them, you know, saying that, you know, please take, you know, this is the Bhagavad Gita. See here, Krishna is there, here Arjuna is there. Please bring your focus to Krishna's face, see how beautiful he is. And then we talk about Bhagavad Gita. See, in this, you know, in this particular verse, I will chant the verse also for them. And in this particular verse, Krishna is saying this. Now, sometimes the person is not interested. And devotee knows he's not interested. Still, he'll keep speaking. And then finally, the devotee, when he's leaving, so he says, the devotee is telling, okay, you don't want to take, no problem. Touch Bhagavad Gita, at least touch. And that person says, no, I'm not touching. He's thinking that something else will happen if I touch Bhagavad Gita. So just by seeing this Bhagavad Gita, just by touching Bhagavad Gita, just by holding Bhagavad Gita, yes, person gets lots of spiritual punya, lots of spiritual punya. And we devotees, when we go on the road, this is what we should do. We should give prasadam. We should, you know, show people the Bhagavad Gita, distribute Bhagavad Gita. So like this, people get Sukriti. All of us have got like this only. Point by point, drop by drop, we all have got Sukriti amassed, you know, in our spiritual bank. To such an extent now, it has come to this level, threshold, where we joined the Gita course, we have joined mantra meditation, and guess what? We are chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra on beads. In Kali Yuga, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra on beads, giving up non-veg, taking an oath, which all of you are going to do next Sunday, is a very, very big thing. Very big thing. As a preacher, I'm telling this because I've been seeing so many people coming and going in bhakti. So when someone is taking an oath and, you know, trying to do all these devotional service, it actually goes on to say that those people are very, very special. Why very special? Because they've got a lot of spiritual punya. Because of which they've got faith in Mahamantra, faith in Bhagavad Gita, faith in Krishna, faith in Mahaprasad, faith in devotees. All this faith will come only to those people who have got spiritual punya. So that starts with Ajnata Sukriti. We all started our bhakti with Ajnata Sukriti. Unknowingly, people started giving us spiritual punya. Devotees started giving us spiritual punya. But you know what now? Now when we understand all this, now we need Gyata Sukriti. Knowingly we should do Sukriti. We should get spiritual punya. Knowingly we should make sure, consciously we should chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Consciously participate in Rath Yatra, do various services. I mean, you know, any festival. I'm just naming a Rath Yatra. Consciously take Bhagavad Gita with faith, look at Bhagavad Gita, pay obeisance to Bhagavad Gita, see the verses, chant the verses every day. Consciously, we have to do this now. Have only prasadam. offer tulsi to Lord Krishna, accept that tulsi and have prasadam, and then hear the discourses consciously. No, it's not that, no, you are passing by and then there's suddenly a loudspeaker, you know, some pravachan is going on. No, consciously we attend the classes now, because the sukriti that we got helped us to chant the holy names, to, you know, do devotional service. But we don't have enough spiritual punya to enter the spiritual kingdom. Please understand. In Brahma Vimohan Leela, when Krishna was sitting with all the cowherd boyfriends, all the gopas, so everyone was sitting. You know, all the gopas are sitting and Krishna is sitting in between. It is said that it was like a lotus flower, where, you know, Krishna is the world and the petals are around. All the lakhs of gopas are sitting. All of them, they opened their lunch box. They all are opening their lunch box and they all are spreading it on the leaf. Some of them are keeping it on the stone. So plates are not there. No, they're doing it like this. And all of them have got very nice eatables. And their life and soul is Krishna. So what are they doing? So they will taste. Suppose Madhu Mangala has got laddu. So he'll taste the laddu. He's half-eaten laddu. And then he tells Krishna, open your mouth, and he throws. And Krishna is like, oh, Krishna is eating that. Now, the ones who attended my deity worship seminar, how do we offer bhoga? So much procedure I told, right, that day. Now do Achman, Keshavaya Namaha, Narayanaya Namaha, Madhavaya Namaha. Then go prepare the plate, you know, and in the plate, and that plate should be exclusively for the Lord. Have a glass of water, pure water. Put tulsi in each, then go to the altar, clean the, you know, place, keep the plate, sprinkle Ganga Jal, you know, on the, or the Achman water on the plate, close the altar, ring the bell with awe and reverence, and chant the prayers. And after 10 minutes, go and remove. So much, huh? And here these people are eating and throwing in the mouth of Krishna, and Krishna is eating. So all this Brahma was observing. You know, from the top, Brahma is observing and he's saying, what sort of Lord he is? Pakka, he is my Lord only. Or, I don't think he's my Lord. How is it possible? We sing Purusha Sukta prayers, then he comes. Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasrakshat Sahasrapat Sabhumim Vishvato Vritva Atyatishthad Dashangulam. No, Peter is very nice. I'm not a good singer. There are, if I'm not wrong, 17 or 19 verses are there of this Purusha Sukta prayers. And those are describing how great the Lord is. And Brahma is the lead person in singing this. So he's thinking, are we sing Purusha Sukta and all to invoke this person, and this person is sitting here eating jhuta, no, jhuta food, the food that has touched others' lips. How is this person a devotee? At that place, when all this pastime is happening, where Krishna is eating directly from the mouth of the gopas, where Krishna is jumping, and then the gopas jumping on Krishna's shoulder. Some are pulling Krishna's hair and some are cheating Krishna also in various ways. So there Shukadeva Goswami writes that how come these gopas have come to this place and are personally participating in Krishna's pastime? How is it possible? So there Shukadeva Goswami says, Krita Punja. He says that these gopas who are sitting, they have amassed lots and lots of spiritual punya, right? Now from many, many lifetimes. And now they have become eligible to sit with Krishna and have lunch on the banks of Jamuna. Now do we understand why chanting, reading, hearing, all this is so important? Now consciously we have to build our spiritual punya. Consciously we have to go take darshan of the Lord every single day. So I was telling in the deity worship seminar, we should have a good altar in the house where we consciously go morning, evening, afternoon, whenever the altar is open, we go take darshan, pay obeisance. N number of times we come in front of the altar, we pay obeisance. So consciously we're doing all these activities. Slowly and steadily, by the mercy of the Lord, now we'll come to a certain stage where our sukriti will help us, you know, to move ahead in spiritual life. And obviously, in future, you know, when the Guru's mercy flow, when Krishna's mercy flow, now we'll be able to we'll be able to get that taste for Krishna consciousness. And finally go back, home back to Godhead this very lifetime. But now the chance is, Agyata Sukriti, we have come to chanting and doing devotional service. But now what are we supposed to do? Now we have to actively get involved in practicing Krishna consciousness. So with this, I would like to pause here. I didn't see the time. It's already 9:12. Now please post your questions. We'll try to answer some. and we'll continue the Ajamil's adventurous pastime from next Thursday. Yes, please post your questions. This class is like feast for soul. Oh, thank you very much. I'm a greedy person, so it is said one who speaks Bhagavatam, you know, that person will also get Sukriti. So I'm speaking Bhagavatam. Okay, before I take questions, so coming Sunday is a very, very important day for all the Gita course participants and all the mantra meditation participants. So you all are going to take oath. Only the ones who have written the question, answered the question paper, only them. And your names, your Bhakti Vriksha leaders will suggest, and those with names will come to us. And you'll be taking the oath on that day, and you'll be getting closer to Krishna. Very, very auspicious day. So when you come in the evening, time will be communicated to us, communicated to all of you all. So on that day, please take bath in the evening once again, and wear clean clothes, and then come for the oath ceremony. And take oath with heart and soul, and tell Krishna that this life I want you. No more taking chance. This one oath which I'm taking, please help me to get closer to you. And to such an extent that, oh Lord, please pull me now. I cannot do anything myself. You pull me now very, very strongly. You are the big magnet and I am a chutku iron filing. And I can be easily attracted by you. But if you desire, this will happen. Please help. So with this mode, we can take the oath on that day. Okay? Okay, let me take some questions. Is there really a hell? Who are meant to go there and what actually happens there? Okay. So there are 14 planetary systems. So we are in Bhuloka. So we have Bhuloka, then we have Bhuarloka, Swargaloka, and then we have the others which are there. That Marloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and what else? And Brahmaloka. Like this, we have 7 up and 7 down. So I don't remember the sequence where we have Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, and Patala. You know, like this, we have the lower planetary systems. So these are the 14 planetary systems. And the lowest, and the lowest planet is the hell. Actually, just I ate something and. Yeah, and the lowest planet is actually the hellish planet. So 14 planetary system and the lowest one below Patala is actually the hellish planet. And it is not one planet. There are different planets which are there in this, you know, hellish planets. And every planet has got a special punishment that is there. So in one planet, you know, there are some nice big vessels in which oil is boiling. And every day people are fried in that. All the sinful people are fried in that. There is another place where people are drinking alcohol. Those people are taken there. And there people are fed hot molten iron. And they're poured in the mouth. And that gives them a lot of kick. That's what they were expecting, right? When they were drinking alcohol. The ones who are having illicit sex, for them, there is another place, you know, where they have been given, you know, another punishment where there will be a statue, and that statue will be red hot statue. Say for a female statue will be there, and for a female, a male statue will be there. And the Yamadutas who are there, they'll push the person to go and embrace the statue. And that will be very, very painful because the entire statue is burning. It's very hot, and this person is going and embracing. And the body that this person has got is a very, very sensitive body. So in hell, a separate body is given, called as Yatana Sharir, which doesn't die so easily. So that will remain for lakhs of years. And the person will be made to suffer for lakhs of years like that. So yes, this is what happens in hell. So I'll not go into deeper aspects. Everyone has to sleep, no, today. So, can I mix Mahaprasad in food with onions? I have not heard much about this. Better to take separately. So all of you are saying wonderful session. Actually, today was the most light session. With time, it will become more intense and heavy. Before coming, mantra meditation 4 rounds, now 20 rounds. Jai Ho, Muniraju Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Very nice. Very nice to see you and hear this. Very sincere you are. I want to know whether widow marriage is Allah encouraged or not if the widow's father has passed away and her son is too young. It is again a very sensitive question. So Chanakya Pandit says that if the mother marries again, so the child or the son who is there, he should see the mother as an enemy. So basically, it goes on to say it's not proper. Yes. But obviously, there are a lot of ifs and buts are there here. So it has to be gone through. We should consult a proper authority and try to understand because everyone has got a different situation and there'll be lots of ifs and buts in that. So understanding the situation, the solution will be given. So accordingly, we should implement the solution. But overall, if this question is asked on the very, very superficial platform, if possible, she should live a life just like that, as a widow, and try practicing bhakti very, very intensely. And if someone is getting into such remarriage and all that, there'll be a lot of complications, obviously, where the child has to accept another father, and there'll be lots of problems, obviously. There'll be lots of things will be there. So at least when it comes to Shastra, this is what we understand because I was discussing this topic with some senior devotees and we all concluded this only, saying it will be a bit difficult later to manage. And also we can consider this as an opportunity and practice bhakti very intensely, than getting into a new relationship, again settling into a new relationship, again begetting more kids and all that. So again, more illusion, right? So it's better not to live the same life. But if it is really very critical and whatever the situation, then we have to consult and ask, tell the situation and ask, this is what it is, what can be done. And accordingly, the senior devotees will give some solution and if that can be implemented. When Krishna is in every person, how to view the people who are anti-Hindu and the way things are happening in India, how to reconcile? So not very difficult, this is. Krishna is there in everyone's heart and still crimes are happening. Still murders are happening. So many problems are there. Anti-Hindu is still okay. That's still on the sober platform, I can say. Yes. But there are people who are doing so many criminal activities. Krishna is there in their heart also. See, we have to understand that Krishna is there in our heart as Paramatma. He does two activities. One, Upadrishta. Second, Anumanta. Upadrishta means he's actually witnessing what we are doing. Like a 24/7 CCTV camera, he's seeing what we are doing. And Anumanta means he's a sanctioner. He sanctions our desire. So Krishna gives that feeling from within that don't do this particular activity. But then when the living entity is adamant and literally intense in the desire to do that particular activity, then Krishna just sanctions that and says, now you suffer whatever you want to do, you can do. But the best part here is Krishna will never leave the person. He'll keep guiding the person. He'll always from within keep telling, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this. But who will be able to hear Krishna? The positive voice of Krishna, who will be able to hear? Only those who are practicing bhakti, they can hear Krishna's voice. Or the others who are there, Krishna will keep shouting, but the person in such an ignorance that he will not pay attention to that. He'll just be driven, by the mind. That's the reason, this is there. And also other thing is, one drawback with Krishna is he doesn't force anyone. That is the biggest problem. He doesn't force anyone. He loves us so much that he doesn't force anyone. He's like, okay, my child wants this, take it, chalo, take it. Like suppose, some child is crying very, very piteously. Say in a mall, you take your child and he's crying very piteously. I want this, I want this, I want this. And it is not good for the child. But since he's crying and intense, so you just throw and you say, okay, take it. And just keep your mouth shut. That's what Krishna also does, out of love, basically. So in this way, we see all these things happening because of this particular thing. And also another aspect, another angle to this is the karma of the person is also there. Sukriti matters. To understand Krishna, to understand about Krishna, to practice bhakti, one needs some spiritual punya, as I said today. Without that, it's very difficult. Yes. And another point is that I just flipped from my mind. Anyways, so this is the point that I wanted to make that one should have enough spiritual punya to approach Krishna and to understand Krishna, or else it's very difficult, not possible. So that is the reason we have people like anti-Hindu, we have atheistic people, and then we have so many criminals and all that. Yes. So depending on one's own karma, material nature will keep executing various things, and he'll be put in a situation where he'll be helplessly doing also some of the activities because of the past karma. So there is not one angle to this. No, there are multiple factors, and all are dynamic factors which are changing every now and then. And this person is in that dynamic situation, right? So when it comes to Paramatma, out of love he's sanctioning. This is what we need to understand. Yes. Should we start Vanaprastha at the age of 50 yet? Yes, obviously. No, we have to. But then at the same time, we have to be practical. We should make sure we have good savings. And if the kids are grown up, it's good. Vanaprastha can be started at the age of 51. Ekya 1. It starts from 51. So we can start from the age of 51. Vanaprastha means giving full time to Krishna consciousness, going for Tirtha Yatra and all that. Like Ajamil, if a person commits a sin and takes simultaneous spiritual way, are his sins forgiven? So we'll answer this question in the coming sessions. Yes, it will be forgiven. It's like mistake done shouldn't be repeated. Sin once done shouldn't be repeated. This should be taken care of. Yes. 14 planetary systems, yeah. So here we can read 14 planetary systems. Satyaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, Maharloka, Swargaloka, Bhuvarloka, Bhurloka, Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala. Yes, I missed Rasatala. Thank you, Prabhu. What is Ekadashi Udyapan? Kindly elaborate. Ekadashi Udyapan. I'm not sure about this word Udyapan. If you're talking about breaking the Ekadashi, then maybe I can explain. Maybe you can ping me separately. I can say Udyapan, this word I'm not familiar. My son name is Partha Sarthi. I will call as Parthu. Call him as Partha Sarthi. No, name is such a nice one. Parthu is what? It's called Partha Sarthi. Do demigods come inside Pujari's body and talk? This is something which is very very difficult to understand only firstly. That the that how will demigods come into someone's body? That person has to be really pure, to happen for this particular thing to happen. This is called as avesh. So where there is an avesh of the so and so personality in the body. So for a person who is very pure, maybe this is possible where the Lord wants to communicate something, some demigod wants to communicate something. But there are cases where we have seen a person is drinking alcohol, eating meat, and smoking cigarette, and that person also gets this particular thing. So that in that in such a case we can say that psychologically affected or something like that. See, for some higher personality to come into someone's body, or to get that avesh of some higher personality, some purity should be there. Without purity, without qualification, they will not choose anybody like that. So the body should have some qualification. So if the pujari is qualified, yes, it is possible. Can we kill mosquitoes? This is a frequently asked question. Can we kill mosquitoes? So I'll tell Prabhupada's pastime, and I give the same answer every time this question is asked. So once Prabhupada was there in Mayapur, and then with Prabhupada, if I'm not wrong, Bhakti Charu Maharaj was there. He's a disciple. So a mosquito was there around, and then these disciples were trying to kill the mosquito, shoot the mosquito. And Prabhupada said, "No, no, don't do that." And that mosquito came, and that he started sucking the blood of Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, "Now is the time, kill him." So basically, when the attack is there, then we can defend ourselves. But the best thing is we can have mosquito net. We can have the Odomos, whatever creams are there, mosquito repellent creams. We can have that. Whatever liquids are there, we can use that. So using that bat and playing the badminton with this mosquitoes is not good. Now, that is too much actually. Chut 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 chut. Now, that sound itself is so terrible. When I before coming to Krishna consciousness, when I was at home, I used to play badminton. I used to have fun, a lot of fun, doing that. But then now after coming to Krishna consciousness, just feel the pain of what the mosquito will go through. It's like so much of pain that will. It is literally, it's like electric shock, and we can see the mosquito burning there. And smell also comes, the dead body smell also comes from that. So that's not very good, not to use such things. See, we are devotees, our heart should be soft-hearted, where we care for even mosquitoes and ants and other things which are there. So I would not very much recommend to play badminton with mosquitoes. What is the correct age to take vanaprastha? At the age of 51, now there is that's what is the Shastra talking about. So it is said that we were in spiritual life, we desire to enjoy, that's how we came to this material world. How will we get such desires when we are living with Krishna in spiritual world? So this particular question is answered like this, saying somehow or the other we have got this desire. And it is said only when we go back to spiritual world, we'll be actually getting the right answer to this. Because Shastras don't talk much about this particular thing. In fact, Shastras say that you are like a malaria person. You got malaria. Why are you searching for mosquito? Which mosquito bit you? Take medicines, get cured, and go back home back to Godhead. So not much description is given when it comes to this particular topic. So we need not ponder much also on this topic. What happened there? What did I do? Why did I fall? We have already fallen. Better, let's practice bhakti and go back home. Why can't Mataji's not enter sannyas ashram? So it's the injunction that is there. Mataji's naturally the body is not like the body of a male. And nowadays in Kali Yuga, where Matajis who are at the age of 60, even such people are raped. How can a Mataji, take sannyas? Sannyas means fearlessly going around alone. So, females cannot do this and shouldn't do this. Ideally shouldn't do this because they should be protected. So it is said that a female should be under the guidance of the father, after marriage under the guidance or protection of the husband, and in the stage of vanaprastha should be under the protection of the elderly son. So this is how it should be. So there is no question of taking sannyas, and that's a blunder. I don't know, there are some organizations where females are becoming monks. Where is this concept coming from? No, we don't know. And because of that, such organizations, there are so many illicit activities those are happening. There's a brahmachari ashram, there's a brahmacharini ashram. And then, their kids are put in another ashram. So I don't know what sort of Kaliyug stuff is going on around. It's not allowed, yes. Lord Shiva also comes in demigod list. Yeah, he also comes in demigod list. But more than demigod list, he comes in the top category of a Vaishnav. Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. Again, managing the small child is not easy for a young girl, I feel. She needs some protection. I don't know which comment this is. Anyways, after death, soul get new body, then why do we do Shraddha? Sorry, Shraddha. Today, my mother was asking this question in the afternoon. I gave a class for 1 hour for over phone. So why do we do Shraddha ceremony? Let's understand this. See, what happens is when we do this Shraddha ceremony, we don't know where the person has gone. He might have gone to another body. Maybe he's, having lots of punya, so he has gone to Pitriloka or Swargaloka. Or he might have gone to hellish planet. Or he might be so sinful that he might have become a ghost. So in all these scenarios, what will happen is when a Shraddha ceremony is done, so at that time, the punya is actually given to the person and say he is a ghost, he'll actually get a gross body. Say he's in hellish planet, he'll be uplifted to the Bhuloka. And if he's in Swargaloka, he'll be able to remain there for some more time. But Shraddha, how it is done, that is very important. So today my mother was telling that there is one of our relative. So that relative's son has died. So that son would like alcohol a lot. So this lady every year she'll offer alcohol on the day of Shraddha. Can you imagine this? So all favorite foodstuffs will be prepared, whatever he like, and along with that a nice bottle of alcohol and some cigarette packets around. See, this is called as not understanding Shastra. Let's understand the science of Shraddha now. Now what happens in Shraddha ceremony is we prepare foodstuff, we offer it to whom? We offer it to Vishnu or Krishna. So it becomes prasad. And this prasad is actually offered to that person who has departed. Now, when prasad is offered, the punya will be actually going to that person. So the question which I was asked was, so that person is already there in some body, so who will give this punya? So there is no divine arrangement that is there. So there is no need of someone going and putting in his account. It will go automatically if it is done with faith. But the process is offering Vishnu Prasadam, offering Krishna Prasadam in Pindodaka Kriya is very, very important. Pinda and Udaka. Pinda is like the grains that is cooked and offered. Udaka is water. So Pindodaka Kriya is what is done. So first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this comes where Arjuna is speaking about this. So in this way, it's very important to understand what is Shastra saying and how this Shraddha ceremony should be done. It's not that we feed non-veg. Say we feed non-veg to that person. You know, say we are very, very faithfully, we are praying to the Lord that, you know, please, you know, give this to that person. He likes it. If he is hell, he'll suffer more. Because we are giving papa to that person. So we should understand how to do the Shraddha ceremony and do accordingly so that the person elevates and not degrades. Hope you understand. This is the science behind the Shraddha ceremony. To make justice, we can follow unjust method. So this is a very, very generic question. So this cannot be answered because this some situation should be given where we can actually understand what it is. If I make a statement now and if someone follows that, I will go to hell. So some specific situation should be told. You know, then we can answer. Udyapan is formal completion or... Okay, that is breaking of Ekadashi. That's what I was talking about. So there will be a time slot. There will be a time slot that will be given in Vaishnav calendar. And in that time slot, that is called as Paran time, only in that we should break the fast. So what we can do is we can do our worship. We can chant few rounds. And then we can accept grain prasad on that day. Because we were fasting from grain, so we accept grains on that day. So we offer food to the Lord and then we accept, you know, the prasad that is there. That is the only procedure. There is nothing more than this. Vanaprastha is only for men. No, Vanaprastha is for both men and women. So husband and wife will go together, you know, for Tirtha Yatra. That is Vanaprastha. Sannyas is only for male. And the wife will remain at home with the elderly son. You said like Matajis will get attached to grandchildren and get entangled with all other worldly activities. So when the female is there at home, you know, when the husband takes sannyas and when female is there at home, now, I think a couple of days back, we were reading from Bhagavatam that the female should live a life in such a way that she is detached from all the activities in the house. And she is setting an example how a detached lady should live. So she's almost like a sannyasi, but the only thing is she's staying at house. That's it. So she's not getting involved in the administration of the house and things like that. She's aloof from all that. So that's how it should be. I easily get carried away by various news and current affairs where Hindu are not respected or there are news against Hindu beliefs, especially in India also. I feel really bad when even Hindus are behind this. What should I do? Even I get a lot of pain, you know, to be very frank. I feel a lot of pain when I hear all this. And you can see all those places where I get really, when I burst in the classes, when all these topics come. But the fact is, people don't know what is Shastra. People have forgotten. You know? These so-called Hindus, that is all of us, you know, how much Shastra do we know? People don't know who is Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is a fight between Shaivites and Vaishnavas. There's a fight between the Shaktyas, the worshippers of Shakti, and the other clan. What is going on? Because people are putting their ego rather than referring to Shastra. That is what is happening. So we have to somehow understand the Shastra very nicely. And implement the same in our life. And the goal is not to prove ego. The goal is to go home back to Godhead, break the cycle of birth and death. This goal people don't know only. People are more interested to do what? Oh, I'll do this puja. I'll do this yajna. And I'll get what? I'll get nice promotion. I'll get some money. I'll get some nice match and all that nonsense people are doing. But spiritual life is not meant for all this. Spiritual life is meant for some higher purpose, to break the cycle of birth and death. The only solution which I could find was, preach this message of Bhagavad Gita very, very vigorously to as many people as possible. Like, for example, there were 100 plus people today in the class, both on YouTube plus this one. So if suppose 100 people preach to, say, 2 people each, so 100 plus 200 it will be. And say those 200 people preach to another 2 people. That will be 400 people. So like this, it will keep increasing. And then we can say that, yes, this community will actually grow and become very, very strong. Or else there is no hope. Much hope is there, you know, for this Hindu community, because we are having tough time. You know, tough time because we are not able to retain our culture. We are getting influenced, you know, by various other opposite. Opposite is not the right word. Various other faiths which are there, the Western culture which is there, and so on and so forth. So this will come, you know, only when we are practicing our Sanatana Dharma very properly. Under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Okay, I guess we can stop this because it's already 9:40. Maybe I'll take one more question. And what about Mata Amrita नंदामयी, शी इज ब्रह्मचारिणी एंड ऑल्सो विथ हर सो मेनी ब्रह्मचारीज एंड ब्रह्मचारिणीज इन हर आश्रम. आई वुड नॉट लाइक टू कमेंट ऑन दिस बिकॉज आई डोंट नो हु दिस पर्सनैलिटी इज, बट शास्त्रिकली आई नो वॉट वी हैव रेड. Shastras don't allow sannyas to the females, not allowed at all. You take up any example in the past, you tell me from the history, Mahabharata, Ramayana, was there any sannyasi lady? Yes. Kaliyuga, now many things are happening, so we cannot comment on all that. I also don't know how great the personality is or whatever, you know, what social service they're doing, so let me not comment on that. Oh, Jay, only two more questions. Okay, I'll answer. When one should go to Gaya Varanasi to pay homage of parents, Pitru Paksh is something, you know, on that day, on that Pitru Paksh time, we can go and we can offer Pindodaka. Bollywood is making OMG part 2 movie. Don't know what all they'll do. Huh, they'll put more nonsense and more Hindu people will become more faithless, more atheistic, and we will get more fired up and we'll blast on people. That's what will happen again. Anyways, no. Lots of things are happening in the world, but let's focus more on what we are supposed to do. Let's become more fired up. Let's not become Ajamil. This is what I would say. Let's not become the Ajamil in his initial stage where he was doing sense gratification. So let's end the session for today. And also, yeah, before ending, so I would like to give the update on the temple project that is going on. So all the papers related to the land have been verified by our lawyer. The legal office. So the land is very much safe to purchase. So now in next 1 month, you know, that land we are planning to purchase. But again, we are now lacking 80 lakhs. You know, from 1.2 crores, now we have come to 80 lakhs. So now it's very tight. Now it's very tight because somehow we have to get those 80 lakhs, you know, to purchase that land. So we were just thinking, you know, that if 250 people, you know, they come together, and each one, if they contribute 30,000 or something like that, then we'll be able to get this 80 lakhs very, very easily. So I request all of you all, the ones who can contribute, please contribute, you know, because we are in really a great need. We want that land very badly. And in 1 year, we want to build a temple, you know, temple, a house for Krishna. So please participate, you know, in this wonderful yajna. And it will be very nice. You know. So whatever you can do from your side, you know, there is no hard and fast rule that this much only you are supposed to give. If possible, you can give the amounts, which you know, some amounts which will help us to meet the target, 80 lakhs. Okay. So thank you very much. So let's meet on Sunday, and let's have a nice ceremony. And again, we'll meet on Thursday and continue the pastime of Ajamil, and try to see what more is there to learn from Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's chant Mahamantra 3 times and end for today. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai.